Every Thursday night, you ask the questions, DT gives you his answers. No holds barred.
It's Q&A with Don Tony. This is your chance to speak your mind and be heard about anything.
Q&A with Don Tony. And now, your host, Don Tony.
Hey, what's going on, everyone? Don Tony here, and I am back with your latest Q&A. I want to thank you all for sending in a question for me to discuss. Somebody took liberty and sent 15, so his will be answered at the very end, and it'll be done in rapid-fire format. We want to keep these answers, the questions, discussions flowing, and I'm telling you, awesome content for this episode, and it is going to spark a lot of debate. A lot of discussion. George Ford, right off the bat, asks, Don Tony, Gunther or Austin Theory? Which one is the future of the WWE? And listen, I think the majority of you out there, spurred a moment, first reaction, is going to disagree with what I'm going to say. I think you all have a feeling where I'm going with this, but let me explain why I choose the answer I choose. The future of WWE is Austin Theory. If you choose the two, it's Austin Theory. And the reason why I say that is that Gunther has, I mean, he's on a different level right now. And if you told me I had the next 100 matches that I watch, they have to be Gunther or Austin Theory, I would probably choose Gunther 90 to 95 out of the 100. Gunther, I absolutely love. Austin Theory, though, if you look at WWE, and character-driven. I mean, Gunther is the quintessential heel. But even if Gunther, down the line, were to turn babyface, I mean, is he going to be charismatic? No. Is he going to be animated? Probably not. And he shouldn't be. You do not try to fix what's not broken. Gunther is going to be one of the all-time heels of this generation. Gunther is old school. Somebody asked on the last episode, you know, like, who picked one person from today that would have been awesome in the 80s? And I think it's Gunther. I don't even think it's close. I mean, obviously, he would not do. You think Hogan would allow Gunther to chop him? You think anybody would? I mean, maybe the Dynamite Kid or a lot of those legends back in the day. No, no, no. Put a fucking headlock on me. You do not chop me like that. Gunther, there is a ceiling with his character. He obviously cannot, you know, become that focal point baby face. Respect, absolutely. Austin Theory, you look at him and he's still trying to find himself. But when you think about WWE personalities, characters, you look at from the John Cena's to The Rock and everybody else, he fits the mold of a WWE character, personality. I mean, even if down the line he were to turn babyface, and yeah, for a lot of us right now, we don't see it because Austin Theory is still trying to figure out what he is and put together what he is. I see people online, and it does get a lot of traction. Oh, WWE has not done a lot with Austin Theory since WrestleMania. Yeah, I kind of agree that WWE hasn't, and that's the right way to go because Austin Theory, just because John Cena cuts a promo and says that, you know, you don't buy into what Austin Theory is selling, doesn't mean that Theory has fixed it because he beat him at WrestleMania. Austin Theory has to develop and put it together. You look at a year ago to now, Austin Theory has turned the corner. Look at Dominic Mysterio from a year ago to now. Look at Damian Priest from a year ago to now. Look at Rhea Ripley from a year ago to now. Theory, I think, will put it together. If Theory fails, it's going to be by his own doing or, you know, wellness or just laziness, and you just don't feel it with him. You feel like this guy really wants to go all in. Gunther, like I said, will be one of the greatest heels of this generation when everything is said and done. But as far as the focal point, that singular person to represent all of WWE, Gunther is more of one of those classic villains. And yeah, I think Theory would fit that mold. A different promotion, maybe I would go the opposite way. But Austin Theory, I think, is the future of WWE. Ronnie C. By the way, Ronnie, Kev and I are doing a Don Tony and Kevin Castle show episode Tuesday. Make sure you tune in. That will be on Patreon for everyone. And we'll put it on DonTony.com for everyone afterwards. But I'm letting Ronnie know because Ronnie made us an offer we couldn't refuse. So Ronnie's kind of like forcing DTKC to stay together. I joke. I mean, no one out there needs to do that. I mean, believe me, I tell you, your generosity is very much appreciated, all of you out there. And it's not just, monetary. You know, spreading the word, letting other people know the shows that we all do. And not only the shows, this Friday on SmackDown, they're going to have a championship celebration. It'll probably get advertised on Friday. And all, points are that Charlotte Flair is going to return. We've been talking about Charlotte Flair coming back over the last 2-3 weeks. But because they don't tweet about it, because I don't put it in the synopsis, because we don't put it in the titles, no one knows. So, you got to keep spreading the word, man. Let everybody know. You want your meat and potatoes and you want to be told your shit straight up and be right most of the time. There's nowhere else to go, honestly. And, hey, I just kind of gave you a little bit of, now look, it may not happen this Friday, it may happen next Friday, but it is happening. And that will answer, whose question was it? Steve Barbie, will we get answers for the Women's Raw and SmackDown titles? Yes. Yes, we are. And we should get it either this week or next. I'm a little surprised that there was nothing teased for next Monday's Raw with regards to Rhea Ripley. But I expect either this week or next week they're going to do something about it. And we just had that discussion on Patreon. And when I do Saturday's edition of the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle show, I apologize if you're going to hear this said again, but I think it's very important. One of our Patreons, Aaron, noticed something on WWE's website. And even though Roman Reigns is going to be walking around now with a singular title, one title, they are still celebrating both lineages, the Universal Championship and the WWE Championship. I know that sounds ridiculous, especially when Cody Rhodes ends up dethroning Roman Reigns. How are they going to split up those championships, especially when Seth Rollins has a World Heavyweight Championship on Raw? Unless the WWE Championship and the World Heavyweight Championship, they do a unification. It's so fucking confusing right now. But I think WWE is going to start addressing all of these questions because as ridiculous as this sounds, as far as the women's championships, Rhea Ripley on Raw, and she's got the SmackDown belt. Asuka on SmackDown, she's got the Raw belt. I honestly think the reason why they didn't address it sooner is that they may have created brand new belts for them and they weren't ready. I know you're probably going to say to me, DT, a company like WWE doesn't get their shit in order first before making that. Yeah, sometimes things just don't happen the way. And I could be wrong, but I would not be surprised if we find out down the line or somebody tries to make a claim in the news world that the reason why they did not address Rhea on Raw with the SmackDown title and Asuka on, and early before that, Bianca on SmackDown with the Raw title is new belts were being designed and they were not ready yet. And they, because of Mania and because of the decisions of what they wanted to do, they had to go with it. We'll see. We will see. But I would say by next week, we should have that squared away. So getting back to Ronnie, my thoughts on the mixed reaction by fans when Tony Khan announced CM Punk's return for June 17th's AEW Collision. Also, what kind of TV rating do I think AEW will get for Collision's debut? I think for Collision's debut, I think they're going to get about 840,000 viewers. And that might even be too high. Some of you out there right now saying, DT, are you nuts? They're going to break a million. It's Saturday night. And not every single person is really keen on CM Punk returning. And I'll tell you this, something that AEW is making a mistake about, if you look at their banners that they are putting out there for all the upcoming ticket sales for AEW Collision, 90% of the time the banner only features CM Punk. Collision's more about CM Punk. CM Punk's going to be on that show 15 minutes out of a two-hour show. Sometimes a little longer, sometimes a little less. You know, you need to start pushing your Miros, your Andrades, the House of Black, Thunder Rosa. Start making these wrestlers feel or give the perception that they're just as important as CM Punk. So not everybody is going to be and listen, the main event that they just announced yesterday, Jay White, Juice Robinson, and Samoa Joe versus FTR and CM Punk. You know, not every single person is, you know, enamored by that. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but Jay White is not a household name yet. Jay White is not must-see TV for the majority of wrestling fans out there. I know that's some, you know, hard medicine to take, but the ratings speak for themselves. Jay White was on Impact every week for a little while, and nobody tuned in for it. Jay White was on New Japan's show for quite a long time, and nobody tuned into that. You know, why? Because unless it's under the AEW banner, you don't watch? That doesn't make sense to me. But he will. He will. Given the time, given the opportunity, Jay White will tear it up. And I think Collision is going to be awesome. But I think that there's going to be enough people that be like, you know what, I'll watch the replay. So that's my early prediction as far as the ratings go. As far as the mixed reaction, I've said it a few times. I'm not surprised. This is what happens when the elite media pushes for a year that CM Punk is bad for AEW. And those fans buy into it. And they know that the elite is the one, you know, Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks and everybody else. And not only them, people that behind the scenes in AEW that don't like CM Punk, don't like that, you know, that his attitude and that persona, and it's almost like a WWE type of guy. You know, there is a clique in AEW, even though they may not hang out with the Young Bucks or Kenny Omega or Nakazawa or any. There's a clique in AEW that really despise CM Punk, despise Dax for what he said on his podcast, despise that attitude, and some people who are catered and coddled a little bit, you know, the ones that are bigger in the business. So when you have a year that this narrative has been put online, all this negative, up until the day that CM Punk's return was announced by Tony Khan, you had those elements in the elite media that were trying to take a massive shit all over CM Punk. Wade Keller was the last one to do it, that he talks to a lot of people within AEW, and they would walk out if CM Punk returned. And they don't mean walk out to the ring. They mean quit. I mean, you know, not everybody likes everybody. That doesn't mean you put it as a news story and you try to turn fans against this guy. You know, this media fucked up AEW a lot, big time. They have turned off a lot of fans to CM Punk. And when CM Punk is going to be the cornerstone of their show, man, they thought they were helping AEW. They hurt AEW more than you can imagine. This leads to Sue Sparks. She says, and I quote, CM Punk wrestling is almost an exposure to those who want to believe that it's still a soap opera because of his embarrassment of an MMA career. Would CM Punk last back in the day with real tough guys? It's just a bad look for Tony Khan to take him back since he's a narcissist, manipulative, judgmental, straight edge type. It's like someone dumping you in an abusive relationship and taking them back. CM Punk will definitely be unbearable to his coworkers and will subconsciously and consciously laugh at AEW as he takes their money and opportunities from younger talent. So, I understand why you say that, but you pretty much just expressed the narrative that has been pushed over the last year. CM Punk, at this stage of the game, has earned his opportunity to make whatever Tony Khan wants to pay this guy. If Tony Khan wants to give him control, if Tony Khan wants to give him $5 million, if Tony Khan wants to give him a stake in AEW, that's Tony Khan. That's between Tony Khan and CM Punk. There are some wrestlers who are being grossly overpaid in AEW that if their numbers were ever revealed publicly, you'd be like, what are you, nuts, Tony Khan? It's his money. It's his money. He can do whatever he wants with it. As far as CM Punk being narcissist, yeah, absolutely. But at the same time, though, you know, you got to look at those, not just within AEW, but in the pro wrestling world, in the media world, outside of pro wrestling, in politics, in sports, the news journalists, in and out of wrestling. You have some very, very narcissistic people. The one thing that I appreciate about CM Punk is that he has the balls to express how he feels. There are a lot of people that would never dare say what they say publicly. They will feed it to other people and let them put it out. You know, you look at a lot of the horrible stuff that has been portrayed about CM Punk over the last year by the media, and the people within AEW that fed that to those journalists, they didn't dare reveal their heads, their faces, their names. And I'll be honest with you. You look at last year's media scrum where CM Punk called out Nick Houseman and the other journalists. You look at what has transpired over the last 12 months, and I said it right after that last year, it's not going to fix anything. In fact, these journalists are going to double down. I think these journalists have amped it up a notch. And the way CM Punk was frustrated a year ago, if I was CM Punk, I would be twice as frustrated now. These journalists didn't learn nothing. You know, there's a lot of people that like Nick Houseman, and he is a good guy. He definitely works his ass off, and he should not be known as just the guy that CM Punk called out in his relationship with Colt Cabana in the past and everything like that. But, you know, I think people lose sight of the reason why CM Punk called him out, because these journalists were pushing the narrative for 8 months that CM Punk forced Colt Cabana out of AEW, and he had to be shifted to Ring of Honor. And these journalists, instead of trying to get the answers, they just reported it as rumors. I could report rumors about anything. And even though I know it's not true or I refuse to get the answers for it, they rather just classify it as a rumor. And what happens with a lot of these no-name sites, they snowball it. They build it. And a lot of fans out there buy into it. And when enough fans buy into it, you get that mixed reaction at CM Punk's announcement. So CM Punk is not for everyone, and there's a lot of about CM Punk that I don't like, but, you know, the fact that he called out some people, you know, imagine if he never did that. You know, just think of how much people have gotten away with towards others. I think people forget a lot of the claims against Thunder Rosa, a lot of the claims against Andrade, a lot of the claims against Miro, a lot of claims against others. And what's the pattern of all those people? They're not elites. You know, they're not in the clique of the elite. Rams fan. Thank you, Sue, for that. Rams fan. He knows that I think that WWE now being owned by Endeavor and being a little bit less strict outside projects might be one of the reasons why Mandy Rose does return to WWE. But if Mandy Rose comes back, could it also be because the well is dried up on her her social media account, like that OnlyFans that she has, fan time, whatever, and she can't make it in the world without WWE like she originally thought? That's a possibility, Rams fan. You know, the thing is that, you know, I'm married now. My wife is everything for me. But, you know, if you out there, if you over the years are fancied over a model, over an adult film star, over a girl, I'm talking about just the physicality of a person, especially in the entertainment world, after a while, you kind of get bored of seeing the same person over and over and over and over and over again. And I think when it comes to those fan pages, the OnlyFans and everything like that, I think, you know, over time, yeah, people get a little bit bored. They get a little bit, you know, tired and, you know, are not going to keep subscribing and keep dumping $15, $20, $30 to someone. I mean, some fans out there want that little bit of a personal connection with entertainers out there. And when Mandy Rose interacts with a lot of those people, it keeps them drawn in. Mandy Rose, you know, you look at some OnlyFans stars, and I don't subscribe to OnlyFans. I mean, I do see interviews that are done online. I just saw the interview of the owner, the person who founded OnlyFans, which is like some young blonde, and she was on Fox News. And I don't watch Fox News, but it showed up on my stream, on my feed. And she's got her chest pretty much hanging out and everything like that. And, you know, there are some women and even guys that are like in the top three of OnlyFans for over a year. So, you know, the big challenge for Mandy Rose is to keep reinventing herself. She just did a photo shoot with Paige VanZant. And Paige VanZant is not raking in the bucks right now. So, you know, you give her a little bit of coin, and that might be enough to keep people attracted. I think Mandy Rose returns because she loves wrestling and misses wrestling. There'll never be a point where she's not going to have even 1,000 people subscribing to her. You charge, even at the end of the day, if you drop your price down to $10 and you charge $10 and you get 1,000 people, and it doesn't even have to be wrestling fans, just somebody who wants to see an attractive woman. 1,000 subscribers on OnlyFans or one of these fan pages is nothing. So I think the money would always be there in some capacity. I mean, you look at Tammy Sitch. I mean, now she's screwed. But even before that, when she had her OnlyFans, believe me, you would be shocked how much money was coming in every month, 15, 20 grand at times. I mean, and look at how old she is, and some people felt that she was, you know, her body is not in the greatest shape. And, you know, I kind of agree with that. And now she's in jail and she's fucked. But even her, she was able to. Now, obviously, Tammy was, you know, doing nudity and more, a lot more than that. I don't think Mandy Rose will ever get to that point. But, yeah, I mean, I think that could be part of it. But in the end, she's making money. She's making good money. And that does lead to other projects, too. She could end up modeling for magazines and movies. So, why do I think NXT has never done a Bash at the Beach type show? I'm not sure if WWE owns the trademark to Bash at the Beach. They probably do. My immediate reaction is maybe because Bash at the Beach, you know, has that negative history with WCW, and Great American Bash just sounds more fun. You know, Bash at the Beach, I like the title. In fact, I know some indie promotions have used that term over the years. That's a good question. I mean, if WWE owns that trademark, you would think that they would go with it. But then again, Great American Bash, Bash at the Beach, they sound so similar. You know, and Great American, you know, WWE is an American company. Yes, it is a global company. I don't want any of my international friends to get angry at that. But, you know, a little Americana, summertime, barbecues, July 4th, you know, it kind of fits it a little bit more. So I think if you're going to choose one or the other, you go with Great American Bash. Doesn't mean that they can't do Bash at the Beach themed events. Look, they could and you know why also? Maybe because they're not at a beach. As stupid as that sounds, Rams fan, maybe because they're not at a beach. You know, yes, they can have a beach set up in the arena when they walk down the rampway, but that could be the reason more than anything else, as dumb as that sounds. Kirby Baxter, am I going to call out these IWC idiots that have no clue that Roman's new title belt is the same one as Seth had's? I'm not going to call them out. I actually, 2 weeks ago, on video, did a side-by-side to show everyone. You know, I laughed at the people out there that said, oh, it's ugly, I don't like the design. You know, oh, they're using the old design, you know, the red belt, the blue belt, now it's a different color belt. And I think they totally forgot that Seth Rollins had that title in like 2015. The Rock had a title like that also, I believe. Yeah, I think just some people don't think. They just want to complain. I see nothing wrong with the championship. My only concern is it's undisputed WWE Universal Champion. Okay, that's fine. We have already cleared up how that has nothing to do with Seth Rollins' championship. But since it still represents two lineages, what happens when he loses his championship? You're still continuing the lineage of both belts because Roman Reigns' title reign for both championships is still increasing each day. Like I said, Saturday, June 10th, Don Tony Show will do a live, you know, I'm going to go on WWE's website live and cap it for everybody to see. I think there's a lot of people that don't realize that both lineages are still continuing. So they got to start clearing this stuff up, and I believe that they will. And I think now with the shift to Endeavor and being under a new corporation, new ownership, you know, they may actually close the chapter of some previous lineages since it's going to be a whole new era with Endeavor. I know that sounds a little bit cliche, but don't be surprised if they do that. Nero Faye, do I think Cody will in fact finish the story eventually? If so, when do I think will it happen? You know, with them continuing the bloodline drama, now Jey Uso has to make his decision, and he's going to take Jimmy's side. And then you're going to have the Usos going up against Roman and Solo. And that's going to continue for at least a month or so. How do you incorporate Cody Rhodes back into the mix with the bloodline? You know, Cody Rhodes now has to wait until SummerSlam to get Brock Lesnar. So when you start looking at it like that, it could very well end up going to WrestleMania 40. As crazy as we all thought that was a few months ago, now I'm starting to think WrestleMania 40 is going to be where he finishes the story. Listen, I know there's a lot of you out there that think that no way is Roman going to end up dropping that title to Cody. It's going to be somebody else. WWE is not going to put themselves in a situation that 6 months, a year, 5 years, 10 years from now, we're going to look back at Cody Rhodes in 2023, in 2024, and he didn't beat Roman. People are going to call it one of the colossal failures in WWE creative. Cody's return, everything about Dusty, there's just too much criticism that will be looked back on towards WWE if Cody doesn't finish the story. If Cody was not destined to be the heavyweight champion, the represent, okay, fine. You know, not everybody can be world heavyweight champion. We've had people have title shots over the years and have beautiful builds, and they lose the big one. I'm not sure if Sami Zayn will ever be world heavyweight champion in WWE. That doesn't mean that he's not going to have a Hall of Fame career. That doesn't mean he's not going to be one of the greatest of this generation. Just means that, well, he didn't win world heavyweight champion. You know, there's a lot of wrestlers that I grew up in the 80s, the 90s, the 70s, really mostly 80s, 90s, and even 2000s, that never won the world heavyweight championship. And you look back on some of them and you say to yourself, wow, I can't believe that WWE never gave him the title. Especially during the 80s and the 90s. You know, you had a few people that had a stranglehold. You had a couple of upsets here and there. But at the end of the day, there was a lot of people that you'd be surprised. I mean, back in the day, there was a lot of people that thought that, you know, people from Ravishing Rick Rude to even Piper to a certain extent, Snuka back in the day, you know, it just... You got to think of the time frame. Backlund was the champion for 5 years. Then Iron Sheik had it for a brief time. And then Hogan owned it for many years. And then they had to have a replacement for Hogan. You had Savage and then Warrior. And then Bret Hart was able to break in there. And Bret Hart maybe a little bit more like from the Backlund era. Like somebody was not this larger-than-life superhero. I mean, he was a great role model. Next thing you know, you're 15 years, you know, removed. You know, Backlund won it in 78. Then you start 15 years later, it's 1993. And there's a lot of people that never won the World Heavyweight Championship. Cody has to finish the story. He absolutely has to finish the story. And he will. He wasn't brought back. and put in that position. If, let me put it this way, if Cody was not going to finish the story, they would not have put him in that position so soon. Yes, he came back from the injury. Yes, he won the Rumble. Yes, he got the title shot. But there's many other people that could have been in that opportunity instead. Cody still bringing up finishing the story, it's like crying wolf. After a while, it gets old. So they're throwing roadblocks. Trust me, this will develop into a big drama, dramatic story. Right now, the bloodline is the storyline for everybody. Cody will have a massive, dramatic storyline come out of this. We just haven't seen it develop yet. And when it does, then I think people will start getting into that frame of mind. Right now, we're not supposed to think about it because we're only in the beginning of June. I think Cody does finish the story. Now I'm starting to think WrestleMania 40. Tony Bologna McCall. He's had this burning question for months. Why are wrestling promotions or owners able to extend the rollover contracts of talent because of injury, yet they still pay the talent while they're recovering? That's not allowed in any sport. Good question, Tony. The quick answer of it is these are independent contractors. They're not employees for these companies. I know that's, you know, been the burning question, and Andrew Yang and cried wolf about it. Were we right a couple of years ago? Andrew Yang wasn't going to do shit. That remember the group, what was it, Gabrielle Cartieris? Remember her bullshit? Oh, I talked to Zelina Vega. We had a bet. They weren't doing nothing for the wrestlers. They're not employees for these companies. The promoters paying the wrestlers while they're out is a good gesture. These promoters do not have to pay these wrestlers while they are out. They choose to do so. And since they are getting paid while they're not performing, they owe the promoter for the time that they were paid while they were out with an injury. I know what you're going to say. Oh, they got injured on a job. That's workers' comp and everything like that. They're not putting in workers' comp claims. These promoters are not putting in workers' comp claims with the insurance company to pay this person's lost wages while they're out. So they're paying the wrestlers for the time that they're not out, they're not performing. These wrestlers, in return, have to make up that time. How do you go around that? Simple. While the wrestler is out of action, you don't pay them. You don't pay them. And they know what you're going to say. Well, if they have a 3-year contract that goes from January 1st, 2020 to January 1st, 2023, and they're out of action for a year, don't they still have to work for a year? You know, get paid for it, but work for the extra year. No, that doesn't mean nothing. That just means they lost a year's worth of pay. Contract still ends in 2023. So, no, these promoters paying the wrestlers is a nice gesture, but those wrestlers have to return. You know, you get paid to perform. You don't get paid to sit out with an injury. You could get paid to sit out if the promotion doesn't want to use you, but that's pretty much the deal. That's how they do it, and that's how they get around it. Havili, what's up, Havili? If Jay Briscoe didn't sadly pass away, would we have likely seen two more matches between FTR and the Briscoes? Absolutely. Absolutely. I think they would have had to tone it down. It got so hardcore of a blood feud that you can't, it gets to a pinnacle. And I think they could have ended up being like what the Usos versus the New Day was. I'm not saying that they would have wrestled that many times against each other, but that would have been one of those, you think of the Von Erichs versus the Freebirds. For this generation, it could have been the Briscoes versus FTR. But they would have had to tone it back. Probably have, you know, the Briscoes and FTR even team up with each other, feud with others, and then when they have a falling out again, you have to have some regular matches. You can't have this blood, guts, and hardcore violence because it gets numb after a while. You know, it's supposed to escalate, supposed to build, it's supposed to peak somewhere. They absolutely would have continued it. Absolutely. Why wouldn't you? That's money. You know what the worst thing is? That more people did not see FTR and the Briscoes That should have been on AEW television. And it is disgusting that Warner Media would not allow the Briscoes to be seen or mentioned, you know, because of their perception of their views. It is disgusting. It took a tragedy to allow them to be celebrated on TV. That is terrible. And you can't blame AEW to an extent because they're not going to cause any rifts with the network. Their relationship has to be solid. You know, there's a lot of people out there that think that any show is safe, and no, that's not the case. I'm not saying that AEW is in any jeopardy. I'm not saying that. But we've seen shows get dropped, you know, top-rated shows. I mean, look, WCW was hemorrhaging money back in 2001, and WCW was up for sale. And yes, WWE ended up buying it, but WCW was being dropped from Turner Networks TV. And I remember Diamond Dallas Page commenting about it on the Monday Night War, and he said, you know, but this is your top-rated show. Why would you drop it from TV? So think about that. The network just did not want wrestling on their network. Turner Network, AOL Time Warner, did not want wrestling on their network. They were going in a different direction. That made WCW almost worthless. And they were still one of the top-rated shows on cable. You know, nowhere near WWE, but still a good enough rating that you're kind of surprised why they were being dropped. And no other TV network was interested in picking them up. That's kind of nuts when you think about it. I mean, look, everything happened so fast. You know, Eric Bischoff, Infusiant Media, and even ultimately WWE buying it, they didn't even have time to, you know, negotiate with other networks. And listen, look at the media upfronts that just took place in New York City. Warner Media had theirs, NBC Universal had theirs, and others. And, you know, some shows were not mentioned because they're negotiating. AEW is trying to negotiate an extension with Warner Media. It hasn't happened yet. Remember the billion-dollar deal everybody was talking about? Never happened because there was no deal yet in order. You look at WWE. WWE was not mentioned in NBC Universal. Why? Because they're negotiating a new TV deal. But there are other shows out there that nobody paid attention to. The one that we talked about a couple of weeks ago on Patreon was Young Rock. You know, we noticed right away that Young Rock was not mentioned about the fall season. And, you know, why would you not announce it's not like you're negotiating a contract extension. And Young Rock wasn't the only one. There's other TV shows out there and listen, if you do a Google search, you'll see some entertainment websites that all they cover are shows being renewed and shows being dropped. And if you look at it, you will see them have a nice list generated of shows that could very well end up being dropped by networks because of ratings. And some of the ratings are not that bad. And you say to yourself, well, why are they still dropping it? Because, you know, it's ratings, or they just don't like the content. So you don't want to cause any rips in any relationship. But what Warner Media did about the Briscoe stuff was awful. Awful. And a lot of the wrestling media world, you know, gave it a pass. You know, they reported it, but they never called anybody out on it. They never called out people's names. Me, I'm not going to do that because I'm not going to risk being sued or anything like that. They knew specifically, but they just chose to do the emotional, oh, you know, we want to see it. And that's Gary Vaughn. I am gifted a trip to take my wife anywhere around the world. No money is no issue. Where would it be? I would want to go to an island, somewhere warm, somewhere that doesn't have hurricanes, tornadoes, just beautiful weather, nice calm waters, you know, away from civilization for a little while. Still have an internet connection. I wouldn't mind live streaming from the island a little bit. I don't know. I mean, I always wanted to maybe go to Hawaii. I always wanted to go back to Italy. I mean, I would love to go to Australia or the UK one day. But I think for me and my wife, in fact, we're trying to plan a trip for Florida for our one-year anniversary in September. We might be going down to Fort Myers and Naples, Marco Island, maybe even Key West, you know, just to take in some nice sunny weather. And me, I don't like flying, but, you know, one-year anniversary, got to kind of make an exception. So, but thank you for asking that. I like that question. Roderick Howard, in my opinion, what is the biggest reason Lacey Evans hasn't clicked with the main roster audience? And why do I think her current, and how do I think her current WWE run can be salvaged? Oh boy, that's loaded. If I had the answer to salvage Lacey Evans, I'd be working for WWE. I think the biggest reason why it hasn't clicked is because it was, well, first of all, the Southern Belle thing sucked. The Southern Belle thing, that's not her, you know, the way she talked. You knew it was a made-up accent. It's almost like how they were treating Apollo Crews at that time. They insisted on doing the Nigerian accent and all this stuff. And then he didn't talk that way. And then he's back and, oh, this is really my accent. I think Lacey Evans, the Southern Belle thing, really did her in. Putting her up with Baron Corbin did not help. The feud against Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch was awful. So you had her out there enough that it just sucked. And then you do a dramatic 180 and suddenly, you know, they're acknowledging a military. And then they do these long vignettes trying to, you know, and a lot of it was true and it was very powerful. They should have done that from the beginning. If they would have shown Lacey Evans at the beginning as a babyface and showing some of a military career, I think that would have been enough for the fans to appreciate her. Thank you for your service. You know, I mean, as simple as that. But for some reason, WWE would not go anywhere near military storylines a couple of years ago. I kind of have a feeling why, but I think that's what damaged her big time. They didn't need to do all this dramatic stuff about her family and, you know, the battles. I mean, you give an overview and fans could look it up. You do segments online. Let people learn online. It doesn't have to be on TV in 10-minute segments. I know I'm probably exaggerating a little bit, but how can it be salvaged? I wish they would turn a baby face. I wish they would turn a baby face, not be too gimmicky. But the problem is, even some of her personal views, you know, the autism topic, you know, I don't care how passionate you may feel about something, you know, you got to understand that you're under a microscope, especially when your career is not panning out and people are not into your shit. And then you say something very controversial or ignorant, and people are going to just use that to just kill you with, as far as your character goes. I don't know if her WWE run could be salvaged. I'll be honest with you. I don't know if Lacey Evans is in WWE a year from now. I really don't know. In my opinion, who are some superstars who were truly ahead of their time and did not achieve as much success or acclaim they would have in a different era? Oh, man, you go back in the day. I mean, Tiger Mask, Dynamite Kid, Chris Benoit early on. There are wrestlers back in the 80s, I think, that would have killed it today. Especially, so I think Bruiser Brody would have, if he didn't get killed, if he would have been in this generation. I mean, there are a lot of wrestlers. See, the reason why I don't get into questions like this all that much, I like doing the opposite. I like doing... talking about wrestlers of today who would have worked back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. There's a reason why I don't do the opposite. And here's the reason why. When you look at wrestlers performing in the 70s and the 80s, their in-ring work is quite boring. I mean, Rocky Johnson, I loved his work back in the day. He was one of my favorites. And he would do beautiful-looking drop kicks. He would do a sunset flip. He'd move around with his feet a little bit. He had a lot of fire. You know, not bad on the mic. But if you actually watch his matches, they get quite boring. Headlock, just sitting there. This is a commercial break. World Wrestling Federation will be performing at Schenectady, New York. On the card, the Iron Sheik. Nikolai Volkov, Corporal Kirchner will be on the card. Yeah, and you for 5 minutes, you do all boring stuff. My point is, back in the 70s and the 80s, you didn't have the ring styles of today. And you look at wrestlers back then, and a lot of the in-ring work would be classified beyond boring today. But there are exceptions. You look at some of the wrestlers early on, like I said, Dynamite Kid, British Bulldog, before he blew up. I mean, if they debuted as a tag team on AEW or NXT today, in their early 20s, they could do the same shit that they were doing in the 80s, early 80s, and get over. So it's a lot harder to take wrestlers from back then when their in-ring work was quite boring at times and try to say, oh, they would work today. There were characters. I don't know how well The Undertaker would have been perceived today. You imagine you come out there with a dead man and he's doing the stuff that he does, and then people are Googling him like, oh, this is this guy. Oh, he's a fucking Republican. Oh, this is a good thing. And I don't know if his character would have worked today. I don't know if fans would have gave it time to develop. You know, so it's not easy to take wrestlers from old school and try to say would they make it today. It's a lot easier to do the opposite, because a lot of wrestlers today would just have to pull it back a little bit. You know, when we were talking about Gunther earlier, hey, Gunther, you know, pull back a notch. You don't have to do all that shit. You know, you could have wrestlers just have a nice ground game, a little psychology, and they do just fine. In my opinion, after Magnum TA's forced retirement, how much success could the NWA would have had if Barry Windham was their top babyface in 1986 and beyond? Yeah, he was young. Yeah, he had the great look. It was popular with fans. But honestly, you know, I remember the U.S. Express, and he was, in my opinion, too young, too naive, too inexperienced. He had a great look, got over with the fans, very, very well liked. But on the WWF side, you had Hulkamania. You had Randy Savage. You had WrestleMania III on the horizon. You know, I mean, WrestleMania III was, what, 87? And you're going to have all that going on in the WWF and Barry Windham on the opposite side? It wouldn't survive. They needed somebody with a presence that could be on the front cover and draw. Barry Windham was not a massive draw. And even if they gave him the ball and said, run with it, kid, I think it would have been a colossal failure. You know, back in the day, Tommy Rich won the world championship. Tommy Rich, very, very over at the time. And it did not work. And Tommy Rich, people look back on it and are like, wow, you know, why did they put the belt on him? That would have been too much for Barry Windham in 86. Way too much. I don't think he could have ever been the focal point. Just like Kurt Hennig should have never been the focal point in AWA. Not when you're opposite Titan Towers trying to put everybody out of business. Speaking of Hulk Hogan, Kevin Milwaukee, what are the odds if Hulk Hogan lied about the timeline of events and actually convinced management to book Macho Man to get the belt at WrestleMania 4 as an abrupt favor because he felt bad for interfering much earlier and worse in Savage and Elizabeth's wrestling relationship than he claimed? If he lied, I'm not trying to downplay it, Kevin, but if he lied, people would have been like, it's just another one of Hulk Hogan's lies. You know, it's like, if you're talking about back then, we didn't have inside dirt like that. You had bullshit hotlines and you had the magazines, but that deep, deep political stuff, it didn't matter to any wrestling fans. And any journalist in the wrestling world would have been banished, barred, if they would have started exposing some of that deep, deep, deep shit in the magazines. You know, these wrestlers, the promoters, you know, they still protected the business very, very much, but those journalists knew their role. Even if Hogan would have lied at the, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't look at it in the eyes of what goes on in 2023 and think of what the scenario would have been back then. And Hogan's lies is more of a form of entertainment now than anything else. I mean, look, Hulk Hogan is, I don't know if he's put a tribute up with the Iron Sheik, But I just hope to God when he puts up a tribute, he doesn't say, oh, I just talked to Shiki 2 days ago, and we were talking about, you know, going fishing together, brother. You know, I mean, they did become close. They actually, even though Iron Sheik on Twitter, fuck the Hulk Hogan. Nah, they actually became close. A lot of people don't know that. And, you know, I just paid tribute yesterday to the Iron Sheik, 2 days ago, to the Iron Sheik. No, it was yesterday. It's because it was, you know, we did half of Wednesday Night Dynamite early yesterday afternoon. But, you know, I was looking at outside of wrestling, talking about the Iron Sheik's death, and they're talking about, you know, how controversial and, you know, how wrong it was to play a stereotypical character, and that was damaging to Arab-American. I'm like, oh, shut up. He went into the WWE Hall of Fame in 2005, and he's been beloved, and everybody understood since 2005, even that's late, that it was just a character, and it was just the times, it was USA versus Iran. You know, I say Arab Americans, Iranians, you know, Americans, whatever it is. You know, lighten up. You know, it's not cut and dry. Like I said on yesterday's show, I don't remember anybody trying to seek out to beat up Iranians because the Iron Sheik beat Bob Backlund or was saying, oh, fuck you, USA, Iran number one. Blazing Bolts. What is my favorite nickname Jim Cornette gives to AEW wrestler? Yours is Plumber Moxley. I like when he makes fun of Kenny Omega. I mean, I'm surprised that more people don't get enraged when he makes fun of Kenny Omega. I mean, he calls the Young Bucks like the Cucamonga Kids, and, you know, Plumber Moxley is funny also because John Moxley, he does look like somebody that would show up at your house like, oh, your toilet's clogged. Like, he looks like he would be bending over with a plunger and his ass would be sticking half out. He's just got that scrubby look like he would be like a contractor, a home improvement guy. You know, I kind of laugh at the Kenny Omega. He's got it. I mean, yeah, he makes fun of Vince Russo. I mean, there's a deep hatred there for obviously because of, yeah, I think there's also a jealousy too for Jim Cornette. I mean, Vince Russo, even though people want to insist that he was a major failure for pro wrestling, there are Hall of Famers in pro wrestling that show a lot of love to Vince Russo that made WWE a boatload of money back then. And I think that, you know, that's something that just enrages others. But his abuse to Kenny Omega, every time I hear it, I laugh my ass off. Tuxedo Earth just got a cat a month ago and has gotten used to being in his house. Have I ever owned a cat? I didn't, but my parents did when I was growing up. We had two cats. We had a pink cat and we had a black and white cat. I know one was called Fluffy, and I can't remember the other one. It wasn't Pinky, but we had a pink cat. Well, maybe, no, pink is not the right word. Peach colored. The fur was peach colored. And we had cats until I was probably about, I would say, 10 years old. And then after both cats, I never even asked my parents to this day whatever happened to the cats. I don't know if they died. I don't know if they gave them away. I don't know if they ran away. But my father ended up getting Dobermans. He had two. He had two Dobermans. And I look back on it, and I am amazed that none of us in our family got bitten by one of them. They were full-blown, full-sized Dobermans, and they were vicious, man. He had a black one, and he had a brown one. And then when those Dobermans were gone, he got a miniature Doberman that really wasn't miniature. It was probably like 30 pounds. But, yeah, we had cats when we were young. I never played Legends of Zelda games. Never got into it. That, Dungeons & Dragons, games like that back then, never got into it. Me, I was arcade. Arcade games pretty much was my game at the time. But Legends of Zelda, I knew a lot. I had a lot of friends that were playing Legends of Zelda back then. Hey, you want to play some Legends of Zelda? Nah, I'll play some Galaga 88. But nah, Legends of Zelda, I never got into. With the unveiling of the new Undisputed Championship, which design of WWE belts were my favorites? His was the white IC title and the original Undisputed belt. I mean, if we're talking of all time, I mean, the White Icy title was nice. I loved Morocco's Intercontinental Championship at that time. I almost bought a replica one for $1,000 about 10 years ago. I wanted one so bad. And the only reason why I didn't buy it is because I started thinking to myself, like, what am I going to do with it? Like, all right, like, I just started dating my wife at the time, like, oh, wow, what a cool-looking belt. Like, and then what? I'm just going to stare at it? I'm not going to go to wrestling shows wearing it. I'm not going to manage holding it. You know, it's like I never bought one. So I loved the WCW World Heavyweight Championship, the NWA World Championship. No, WCW World Championship, the big gold that Ric Flair held. The NWA World Championship. Oh, yeah, wait, no. The NWA World Championship is the one that Tyrus has right now. I never really got into that belt. I always felt it was a little too small. I mean, it was a nice-looking belt when you had someone the size of Ric Flair holding it. But when you had somebody bigger, like Harley Race, holding it, it just seemed like it was a little too small. But I loved the big gold belt. They call it the big gold belt. That might be my favorite. Like, if I was world champion and I could have one design from yesteryear, I probably would choose WCW World Championship. And his last question, and we're almost done, guys. He's been hearing one person ask me environmental question for months now, but never addressed littering. He hates when people do it, especially when a trash can is nearby. What do I think could be done to encourage more people to stop littering? Well, for people that are questioning, this is the person he's talking about. It's Patreon. So that's why you probably never heard it discussed over here. As far as littering, look, back in the 70s, and you could go on YouTube. I've brought up the commercials before. Back in the 70s, they would have this really depressing fucking commercial. It would be an Indian, an American Indian. He's a very famous guy. I don't even know if he was an Indian in real life. He might have been. But all they would do is they would show, like, garbage around the ocean, garbage around, like, streets, and they would show him, like, slowly, like, turning around, and he's got this big tear in his eye. You know, and it was all about littering. This has been going on for decades and generations. The only way you could cut back on littering is finding people. Finding people. And the problem is, you know, you don't – listen, I'm not going to lie. One time – when I was in my early 20s, when I was smoking, one time I was at a red light and I finished the cigarette and I flicked it out the window. And next thing I know, there were lights on behind me. Cop pulled me over, pick up that cigarette. And I was like, excuse me? He's like, pick up that cigarette. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. And I picked it up. And he's like, you have an ashtray. And I was like, you know, I'm sorry. He didn't give me a ticket or anything, but, you know, I don't litter. Only because I live in a complex and recycling I have to do as well. I think recycling is just as important as, you know, not littering. Problem is, you're never going to stop people from doing it. Here in New York, you can't even have plastic shopping bags anymore. Everything's got to be paper bags. You know, straws are now paper instead of plastic. You know, they could keep trying to evolve. It's not going to change the habits of people. How you stop littering is people got to take pride of their areas. You take pride, you know, you got people around, you don't want to pollute. But honestly, I wish there was an answer. I think the only way is you find people. You find people, give out tickets more, and, you know, all you got to do is hit them once. Maybe that'll just stop their mindset. I mean, I haven't smoked in decades, but, you know, I could tell you that I never flicked a cigarette out the window, even when I was driving on a highway. I would just put it out in an ashtray. Speaking of cars, Kevon Lewis, if my car accident never happened in 1996, how different would my personal and professional life be? Do I think I would have started my hotline in 97? I don't know how my professional or personal life would have been. I certainly would not have met my ex at that time. You know, me being, you know, stuck in a wheelchair in a bed for 9 months. I mean, I got bored and started calling people and, you know, met her on the phone, and the rest is history that time. So that definitely would have been different. I was trying to get into wrestling at the time. You know, me and my friends would backyard, and we really wanted to join the House of Hardcore, you know, never got to that point. Don't know if we would have ever done it, but I always wanted to do some wrestling. I don't know how my personal and professional life would have been different. You know, I don't know. I mean, for all I know, I could have been managing my dad's store, you know, or buying real estate. But would I have stopped my hotline in 97? Probably not. The only way I probably would have started my hotline in 97 is if I was able to get into wrestling a little bit, and I would, because remember, I started my hotline because of ECW about to get their first pay-per-view, and that's really what sparked it. If I was getting involved in wrestling, I probably would have still started the hotline. Would I have still been doing it today? I have no idea. I have no idea. It's this chains of events that it would have been different. You know what I mean? Remember, it wasn't just, you know, my car accident, but it was, you know, relationship gone bad and this and that. And then, you know, focusing more time on doing the hotlines, and then it blew up. It became the number one hotline in the country. So, you know, this chains of events that would have never happened. So there's a possibility I would have started my hotline in 97 anyway. But I will tell you this. In 1996, I was doing a lot of stuff. And I'm not saying it to try to sound like bragging, but I was, you know, going out with friends, you know, going out, you know, clubs, camping, you know, hanging out, barbecuing, cruising with my friends. That all came to a screeching halt because of my car accident. So I think my social life would have continued. I don't know if I would have been home enough to do a hotline. Dominic McGlynn, what was my favorite summer vacation? Somebody asked earlier would be my ultimate, you know, if no money was an object. But my favorite summer vacation to date, I haven't gone away all that much. You know, like in the summertime, me and my wife will go to Connecticut, Mohegan Sun. But other than my honeymoon in Florida and going to Florida a couple of years ago for my parents for something business related with them, you know, the last time I flew on a plane was in 2000. No, it was earlier than that. It was 1996. So No, 1999, because I got married in 99, got an annulled. So I went on my honeymoon in Florida in 99. So before, a couple of years ago, last time I went on a plane was in 99. So summer vacations, you know, just hanging out with friends, being local. So, you know, really never really did the summer vacation thing. I mean, I will say this. When I was a kid, I went to summer camp for a couple of weeks, and I loved it. And something that really, really bothered me for a long time, you know, as a kid at that time, you didn't have cell phones. You didn't even have beepers yet. You didn't have internet, and it was just paper and pen. And I made a lot of friends on summer camp, and it was like two or three people, even a girl that I met. And I think I was probably like 12 or 13 at the time. And I met, and they wrote down their phone numbers, and we were going to keep in touch and this and that. And I got home and I lost the papers, never heard from them ever again. And I always, you know, for years, I always wondered like, oh, what's so-and-so up to? Oh man. You know, like we had so much fun. It really bothers me that I never got the opportunity to, you know, but yeah, summer vacation is not really something. Plus, when you think about it, you know, with the hotlines and everything else, how often do you see me take a week off in the summertime not doing shows? Alex Romero, the Dark Side of the Ring episode of Chris Candido release was released this week. Can I tell a story about me and Chris Candido? One story that I've told before, but I haven't brought it up that much, but it's something that I always appreciated about Chris Candido. His match against Shane Douglas for XPW back in 2002. I had picked up Chris Candido and Tammy Sitch from the hotel, and Chris Candido was on crutches, and he couldn't even walk. And I helped him in the car, and I was like, how are you going to wrestle tonight? He's like, don't worry about it. I'll be good. So we went and we got some fast food, and we went into the ECW arena, and we were hanging out. And, you know, he says, you know, I just took something. I let it kick in. I'll be fine. And he had, a torn hernia at the time. And he couldn't even walk. And we were sitting down, and we were just hanging out, and people were in the ring working out, wrestling and everything. And we were talking about my hotline a little bit, and, you know, we were going to have him come on and everything. And he was telling me, you know, we got on the topic of WWF, and he was telling me, and this is probably something that a lot of you don't know, and you could check with Johnny Candido. He will back up everything I'm going to say here. WWF, Vince McMahon wanted Chris Candido to be a trainer. Chris Candido still wanted to wrestle, but they wanted him to work as a trainer. And especially in the mid-90s, with Rocky Maivia coming up, they wanted him to help develop Rocky Maivia. And they wanted him to be a trainer and this and that, but that's not the route he wanted to go. But, you know, I don't know what he took that day, but he was like, no, I have to do this show, and I got to do it for the fans. And believe me when I tell you, I know it sounds cliche, but that guy loved wrestling. I don't want to say more than anyone else, but because there's a lot of people that are in wrestling that love it. This guy loved pro wrestling, ate, slept, shit it, was a wrestling fan growing up. Wrestling was his life. And even though XPW was controversial, being in the Northeast and everything like that, he wanted to perform for those fans. And after like 2 or 3 hours, he's like, you know, let me try to get into the ring. And next thing I know, this guy's running the ropes, and I'm like, how the fuck is this guy doing this? And you hear him going, And then when showtime came, and I'm sitting at the announcer's table, the timekeeper's table, I should say. I mean, if you watch that match closely, I think it was a suplex. Oh, no, it was a table shot. I think he got put through a table, and he kind of went through the table ass first. And you see, if you pay attention to his midsection, you see that like that groin muscle or something just pop. And it was, I felt so awful. He in the back on crutches again and could not walk. But when it came down to bell time, he put it out there for everybody. And, you know, that's the story that I will tell now. I mean, Dark Side of the Ring, I haven't watched it yet. I am definitely watching it this week. It's not, you know, look, I mean, obviously, I wasn't that close with Chris Candido, but I was friends with him. But the people on TV were his closest friends. And Johnny was his best friend. And, you know, I heard that everybody breaks down at some point. And it's not going to be something easy to watch. I'm just very, very appreciative that Dark Side of the Ring did right for Chris Candido. I'm kind of stupid not thinking that they would, you know, because of some of the episodes in the past. I think about people who have been involved with it from Jericho and others. They appreciated and loved Chris Candido, Lance Storm, others. And I thought to myself, if these people are involved with it, how would they even dare want to be involved with it if they were going to throw shade at Chris Candido? So shame on me for wondering at all if it was going to be a hit job, and it wasn't. So, yeah, it's good. It's something that, you know, I'm going to watch, and it's going to be kind of hard, but he was a very good man, guys. Very good man. I thank the Masked Maniac because he's the one that, you know, got me, you know, connected with him. And a lot of people, even today, yeah, I'll give you another story very quickly. And some of you know some of this already. The last ever show at the Elks Lodge, where ECW used to have their shows at the time, USA Pro Wrestling was going to have their last show there. That's the same night where Low-Key and Sunjay Dutt had that amazing match that, you know, Low-Key, asshole, does an interview and says, oh, I wish it was happening in another promotion. Fuck you. But anyway, the Masked Maniac, and you could ask him, he will tell you, the Masked Maniac wanted to reform the Dungeon of Doom that night. He was good friends with Kevin Sullivan, wanted to have Kamala, wanted to reform the Dungeon of Doom. And I told him, I said, You can't do the Dungeon of Doom. I went halves when I'm on that show. I made some really nice money thanks to Mass Maniac. But I said to him, I said, we can't form the Dungeon of Doom. We got to reform the Triple Threat. This is where ECW had their, you know, their best shows in New York. We got to reform the Triple Threat. And he said to me, he goes, well, Chris and Tammy, you know, big risk right now. You know, remember, the time frame. We're talking, what, 2003, around there? He's like, you know, it's very, very risky. So he said, you want the Triple Threat to reform, you got to pay the money out of your own pocket to bring Chris and Tammy in. And if they don't show up, you lose that money. And you fuck up the show because we're hyping up, you know, big, big surprise. This was a surprise. And, you know, I got in touch with Chris Candido and talked to Tammy, and they both said that they were going to do it, and they were looking forward to it because they were going to reunite with Bam Bam Bigelow and Shane Douglas. And I showed the video on one of my YouTube shows not too long ago where Bam Bam Bigelow mooned the crowd, and that was the night that I was in the kitchen area guarding all of their bags while they were out in the ring. I didn't even get to witness them doing what they were doing. They got thrown with more garbage than the NWO used to do. And I'll never forget when they came to the back and I was like, how'd everything go? And they were fucking loving it. Bam Bam was hysterically laughing. Tammy was laughing. Chris Candido said it was amazing. And, you know, like, it put a smile on my face because, you know, first of all, I wasn't going to lose the money because, you know, they showed up and they did a good job. But to see, you know, these larger than life people, you know, also like really getting a kick out of the fans throwing garbage and Bam Bam mooning. And I was able to watch it on video afterwards. But yeah, it was always fun to be around that guy. Even Bam Bam too. Bam Bam was a good guy, man. You know, his ex-wife fucked him up big time. Really put him on a downward spiral. Noob and Company TV with Natalia Markova, not currently signed with the NWA. Which promotion do I see would be best for her? WWE, AEW, Ring of Honor, or Impact Wrestling? He feels she's better fit in WWE because she'll perform in a bigger stage and a bigger crowd. I think right now, Impact Wrestling, AEW would not give her enough time. There's way too many women that they would showcase before her, and they don't give enough time for women. Maybe with the Collision show, that'll start changing. WWE, there's too many women that she would have to leapfrog. I don't know how far she would succeed in WWE right now. NXT is a possibility. Impact Wrestling might be the best fit. Impact or NXT, I would say. She's definitely, look, she's young. She's still got plenty of time of her career. But the problem is, you know, some of the big companies have so many, you know, established big names that you're not going to come in and just overtake them. You know, you're either going to get squashed or you're not going to get a lot of attention. So, you know, you got to be a big fish in a small pond. Or you got to be a medium-sized fish in a small pond. You can't be a smaller medium-sized fish in a big pond. All right, we got two left, two people. Crazy Cruiserweight. Eat for a month. Eat twice a year. Eat once every 3 weeks. Peaches, vanilla ice cream, or hot dog bread? Just the bread. Well, I would eat just the bread. Eat for a month, eat twice a year, eat once every 3 weeks. Okay, the hot dog bread twice a year. Because eating the bread dry, there's no fun out of that. Hot dog buns, hamburger buns are awful if you don't have something with it. So, yeah. It has nothing to do with the fact I'm on keto right now. Peaches, I would eat once every 3 weeks. I love peaches. I probably love vanilla ice cream just that much more. I mean, vanilla ice cream, I mean, how do you pass up milk, heavy cream, vanilla? So, yeah, I would put vanilla at the top of the list, then peaches. But I will tell you this, you know, my dad, this is a true story. Growing up, we had a nice big yard in our house in Middle Village. My dad had these two peach trees planted in the yard. And I don't know if it was every year or every other year, but they would bear fruit. And we would pull peaches right off the tree, run it under the cold water, and eat it right there. And there's nothing like it. If you love peaches, there's nothing like pulling a peach straight from a tree, rinsing it off, and eating it right then and there. Oh, man, my dad grew some awesome peaches back in the day. All right, do for 2 years, do for 8 years, or do for 20 years. Be a movie extra, work front desk at a gym, or be a golf caddy. I wouldn't mind being a movie extra to do for 20 years. Get a little credit in a movie, that's fine. You know, even if I'm an extra, I don't care. If I get some, you know, exposure on TV or a movie, that's fine with me. I'd be a movie extra for 20 years. I would be a golf caddy for 8 years. I actually don't mind golf. I don't play it, you know, because I ain't walking all of that fucking, you know. I mean, I know they have golf carts and everything, but, you know, plus I ain't standing around all day golfing. Maybe if I didn't have my car accident, I would consider it, but I wouldn't mind being a golf caddy. I heard some golf caddies get paid some pretty damn good money. So that means I would work front desk at a gym for 2 years. I wouldn't want to be around all those muscle heads and the people who smell, you know. And then you got to be so careful that if you scope the wrong person out, you know, if you're just like appreciating the beauty of somebody, you know, and they catch you. I'm not saying you're doing any perverted, but, you know, this day and age, you know, somebody went viral simply because a girl told a guy in a gym that he was attractive. I mean, how wrong is this world? I don't care if it's a girl telling a girl or a guy telling a guy or a girl telling a guy or a guy telling a girl. But the fact that simply because a girl tells a guy that they're attractive, like, that's something wrong. And if a guy says it to a girl, that's sexual harassment, is that? All right, Charlie Conway. Charlie, I don't mind you giving me 15 questions, but some of them, I'm not trying to offend you. I don't know what you're asking me. So when I run through these, if I honestly don't know what you're really trying to ask me, I'm just going to say, please elaborate. And on the next show, you know, you could send in, you know, those same questions, but elaborate a little further, and I'll be more than happy to answer them. But I'm going to run through these quick because we've actually run a lot longer than I expected to for this show. And I thank everybody again. Awesome questions, great discussions. It's going to spark some debate for sure. Why would AEW specifically involve CM Punk in the mix if they got issues, clicks, politics, and some incident occurs? Because they need him. He's the biggest draw, highest rating, most tickets sold, merchandise. Plus, Tony Khan is a major fanboy, and I don't mean that in a real negative thing. CM Punk is his guy, you know, and he's got to try to have a balance there. So, yeah, I mean, when you run the company the way that Tony Khan is, you're going to have clicks, you're going to have these incidents. There's always going to be, you know, this immaturity. You know, he doesn't step up and, you know, lay the gauntlet down even to the media world. Instead, he plays goofy facial reactions during media scrums when MJF is saying, you know, controversial stuff. So as long as that continues, you know, he's going to get that with it. Thought if the states would default, please elaborate. Jungle Boy's theme song, My Thoughts. I don't mind it. You know, it's a song that I'm kind of like sick of because I heard it growing up. But the crowd gets into it. It kind of like sounds like jungle, like, you know, they go, oh, yeah. It's similar. Like, I'm not going to start singing this song here, but Jungle Boy's music kind of fits him. Will say epic song. Okay, so if you're saying Jungle Boy is an epic song, that's fine. Would MJF join WWE? Yes, but I think he already signed a contract extension with AEW. I just can't picture Tony Khan, even if, you know, we know it's MJF's in character, but I can't picture Tony Khan pushing that so, you know, allowing MJF to push that tease so hard that if he does get up and leave January, it makes Tony Khan look like an idiot. So I think he already resigned. Carlito's status, it was Puerto Rico. and they've moved on. And WWE has not brought him back. And honestly, even if you do bring him back, it's going to remind me when they brought back D'Lo Brown in, what, 2005-ish? It was fun. I loved it. I was happy for him. Within 3 weeks, people were like, all right, now what? Carlito's what? You should make him join the LWO? Okay, that's fine. But, you know, is he going to suddenly, like, become a major player if he's brought back? I don't know. Suppose the Benoit situation involves Eddie. Reason why they committed the crime thoughts. Please elaborate. I don't know what you mean. I mean, we know Chris Benoit murdered his family, but if it involved Eddie Guerrero, if you're asking me how could it involve it, Chris Benoit was very, very depressed about Eddie Guerrero passing away. And he just, the downward spiral. Look, none of us were in the house. And I'm not even saying that night, building up to it. None of us were inside his head. So Eddie Guerrero might have been the thing that just put him over the edge. You know, it's just, it's awful. It's awful. Despite anything in general, why would WWE shift offices? Why wouldn't they just stay the course? I don't know what you mean by that. If you're saying stay in the same building they were in, it was old, too much money to renovate, they needed to downsize. How would this modern attitude era vary from the initial one as far as advertiser networks? You couldn't do the attitude era today. I know AEW is TV-14, and they use some strong language, which gets censored a lot now. They still use blood weapons. The advertisers reflect that. But remember, we got this is not a publicly traded company. It's privately owned, and it's owned by a billionaire. So it's not about making the bottom line. When was the last time that AEW touted, celebrated, bragged about the amount of profit that they have made? Like, they'll talk about Wembley drawing $8 million, but what about for a year? What about, you know, overall? You don't ever hear any of that. And believe me, even though it's private information, if they were making a huge profit, you would brag about it. You would tout it. You would celebrate it. You put that out there that might cause other people to want to invest in some capacity. So, you know, the profit margin is not that as important for AEW. So that's why they get the advertisers that they get. A lot of WWE's advertisers would not go for that. So Punk will be on Collision, obviously. Will Vince McMahon, Stephanie McMahon appear on Raw? Not right now. I think Vince will ultimately appear. I mean, you know, even though it would piss off a lot of people on the internet wrestling community, Vince don't give a shit about that. Once this Endeavor deal gets to a close, I think we will absolutely see Vince McMahon on TV. Not on a regular basis, but Vince will make an appearance. He's not banished. He's not barred. Some people on social media want to make you think that. Canadian wildfires, my thoughts, awful. And the funny thing is, Tuesday, when I did Patreon, somebody asked me about how's it affecting New York. And I was like, it's not affecting nothing in New York. I went out, there was nothing. I'm like, why are people making a big deal about it in New York? Huh. The next day, which was yesterday, oh my God, I walked outside. I thought I was camping in the mountains, building like fires to stay warm. There was smoke in the air. The sky was orange. It was amazing how bad it looked outside yesterday and today. Hopefully it clears up by this coming weekend, but it was awful. Does Dakota personally say her allegiance to Bayley, or would that imply in a different way? Our allegiance to Bayley is because they're in a group together. That's all it is. John Cena's wrestling schedule, very limited now because he's pretty much said that he can't do what he used to do and he doesn't want to ever embarrass himself or, you know, disappoint the fans. So he will be used sparingly. The extreme Alexa moment, the only thing that I could tell you about that is it was Monday Night Raw, January 2019, and Alexa Bliss was going to do her TV segment, and they did a dumb skit where some producer had a coffee for her, and he knocked on a door. Hey, you know, your segment's next. And she doesn't say nothing. And he opens the door and she's holding her top like she's topless, but she's covering up her chest. And that night, the internet wrestling community all were convinced that Attitude was coming back. You see, I told you, Attitude's coming back. And it was just hilarious. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again now in closing. If you all want a good, fun laugh, go. I don't remember exactly what date. Let me check right now. January 2019. All right, January 2019, the Mondays were the 7th, 14th, 21st, and 28th. I think it was either the 7th or the 14th of January. But find a date that they did that moment with Alexa Bliss topless, even though she had something covering. And whatever date that is, do a Twitter search and type in Alexa Bliss, but only choose that day. So if it's January 7th or it's January 14th, just pick that one day. Look at the social media reaction. And even choose the following day because, you know, Raw ends at 11 o'clock at night. So, you know, check the following day. It was amazing how many people were convinced. I mean, you know, returning to TV-14 is great and everything, but you have to have good writing and good storylines and good character development. Just because you can bleed, just because you can curse, just because you can do a little bit of adult-oriented stuff doesn't mean it's good. It allows you to do it, doesn't necessarily mean it's good. TV-14 is not always great. And believe me when I tell you, PG, don't tell me any otherwise that in the 80s, some of the great moments in wrestling, yeah, they were PG. They weren't TV-14. So the way things are portrayed is more important than a rating. All right, guys, I'm out of here. We'll do this again in the next probably 2 weeks. And I appreciate, again, everybody who sent in questions. And, yeah, feedback, always appreciated. Love to see your reaction to some of the discussion and some of my answers. That Gunther Austin Theory one catches my eye. I'm very curious, you look at the end of their careers in WWE, which one will be the bigger star? And I just think, you know, Austin Theory might be that, you know, I'm not saying on the level of a Cena or Randy Orton or anybody, but yeah, he might be in position to be that type of character down the line if he could put it together. So be well, everyone. I'll talk to you all soon. Take care.
Yes. That was cool. Yeah.